Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Our mission really is to dig into the latest scientific research, pull out the key insights, and those surprising facts that help you get up to speed quickly on really fascinating bits of genomics. Today, we're doing a deep dive into something quite common, actually, but often overlooked. It's a genetic change that, well, it silently impacts the health of millions of men as they get older. Okay, think about this. What if a tiny, completely silent change in your DNA could sort of quietly influence your health down the line without you even knowing? For men, this isn't, you know, some sci-fi idea. It's actually a real thing, something we're only now starting to really get a handle on. And here's a fact that might surprise you. The most common somatic mutation in men isn't some like really rare genetic anomaly. It's actually a partial loss of one of their most defining chromosomes, the Y chromosome. It's called mosaic loss of the Y chromosome, or MLOY for short.
That's exactly right. And this subtle change, it happens with age, and it's proving to be a really critical factor in understanding male health. What's really interesting here is that MLOY has these strong links to a whole range of serious conditions. We're talking increased risk of cancer, heart disease, even things like neurodegenerative conditions like Alzheimer's. But, you know, for a long time, just detecting it accurately in a practical way for large studies, that's been a major hurdle.
Right. So if this is so common and has such a big impact, how have we actually been measuring it? How do we know how widespread it is? And I guess, what could a breakthrough in detecting it mean for maybe predicting or even preventing some of these age-related diseases in men? Well, this deep dive is all about a really clever solution to that exact problem. Yeah, solving this puzzle, which has been around for a while, it needed a fresh approach. And today we want to celebrate the really groundbreaking work of a research team led by Jacques Fillet at the École Polytechnique Fédérale de Lausanne. And of course, their collaborators, including Valeria Timonina, Astrid Marshall, Laurent Abel, and Aurélie Koba. Their work has really pushed forward our ability to detect this critical genetic change. It's published in their article, Discovery, a Method to Estimate Mosaic Loss of Y Chromosome from Sequencing Coverage Data, which came out in the American Journal of Human Genetics on October 2, 2025.
Okay, so to really get why their work is such a breakthrough, let's just set the scene a bit. We need to quickly touch on a couple of key ideas. First, somatic mutations. These are basically changes in the DNA of your body cells that happen after you're conceived. So unlike the genes you inherit, these aren't passed down to your kids. Now, when these mutations lead to, well, different genetic codes within the same person, some cells have the change, others don't. We call that genetic mosaicism. We see this quite a bit in blood cells, actually, where it can cause something called a clonal hematopoiesis. Right. And among all these possible somatic changes, MLOY, this mosaic loss of the Y chromosome, it's incredibly significant. It's actually the most common somatic event found in leukocytes, which are the white blood cells in men. So this isn't rare at all. Its frequency goes up quite noticeably with age. It's a very prevalent genetic alteration, especially in older men. And like you said, it's not just some genetic quirk. The implications are, well, profound. MLOY is strongly linked to a whole list of serious health issues, things like increased all-cause mortality, basically, a higher risk of dying from anything. It's also tied to blood cancers like leukemia, various solid tumors, cardiovascular diseases, and even, as I mentioned, Alzheimer's disease. So clearly, being able to reliably detect this is super important for understanding male health and aging.
Okay, so if it's such a major player, why was it so hard to track down accurately before this? What were the roadblocks?
Well, historically, yeah, detection was tricky. The main methods use things like genotyping arrays. These basically look for changes in signal intensity on the Y chromosome probes. Or researchers used complex tools designed for whole genome sequencing data. The problem was these methods were often quite specialized, needed a lot of computational power, or frequently required what's called a matched normal sample. That means you needed a comparison sample from the same person's healthy tissue, which isn't always available. And crucially, there wasn't a really robust method you could use on just a single sample from exome sequencing data, which is a really common, cost-effective type of genetic data. It was a major gap.
Right. It sounds like trying to see something clearly but with a fuzzy lens.
Yeah.
So given these challenges, what was the aha moment for Fillet's team? How did Discovery get around these Y chromosome complexities?
The cleverness of Discovery really lies in how it's designed to sidestep those specific problems. First off, it uses strategic gene selection. See, the Y chromosome is notoriously tricky because it has lots of repetitive bits and regions that look very similar to the X chromosome. This creates a lot of noise when you try to measure sequencing coverage.
Okay.
So MuSCOVERY very carefully focuses only on specific single copy genes. These are found in reliable parts of the Y chromosome, the X degenerate regions within the male specific section. Think of it like avoiding the confusing repetitive parts of a map and only looking at unique, clear landmarks. It's steers clear of those noisy amplicotic regions and the X transpose regions that look too much like the X chromosome. Then the second key part is this precise normalization. This is a really critical innovation. For every Y chromosome exon it looks at, MuSCOVERY finds 100 autosomal exons from other chromosomes that are like perfectly matched in both GC content and length.
Wow, 100 matches.
Yeah, it's meticulous. This careful matching dramatically cuts down on background noise and bias when you're estimating coverage. It's like using a really fine-tuned filter to let the MLOY signal come through clearly. From that point, it calculates a quantitative estimate. It computes an individual-level estimate of normalized median Krejci-Y coverage. Then this population distribution is scaled, so the expected median value is 0.5, which perfectly reflects the fact that men normally have one Y chromosome, it's haploid. And finally, it gives you both a binary and quantitative output. It uses standard statistics to figure out a threshold is MLOY present, yes or no, but crucially, it also converts that coverage measurement into a fraction of cells with MLOY. So you get a percentage, quantitative measure of how many cells are affected.
Okay, I think I'm following you. So this isn't just locked into exome data, right? You mentioned it works with whole genome sequencing too. That sounds incredibly versatile.
Absolutely. That adaptability is a huge plus. It means labs with existing massive data sets from either exome or whole genome sequencing can now go back and look for MLOY. They don't need new samples or completely different complex analysis pipelines. And the results really back this up. They applied MuSCOVERY to this enormous data set over 212,000 men in the UK Biobank, and they found MLOY in 5.6% of them. The average fraction of cells with MLOY across that whole group was estimated at about 2.8%. And performance-wise, it stacked up really well. It showed strong agreement. The correlation was over 0.8 with the older genotyping array methods when estimating the fraction of cells with MLOY. But here's the really compelling part. MuSCOVERY showed even better agreement when compared to MLOY fractions estimated from whole genome sequencing data using a well-respected tool called Control-FreeAC. It actually outperformed the other array-based methods in that specific comparison.
Okay, strong agreement is one thing. That's great.
Yeah.
But the real test is whether the results make biological sense. You know, did its findings actually line up with what we already know happens in the real world?
Exactly. That's the crucial validation. And yes, it did. Through what they called epidemiological validation, MuSCOVERY perfectly replicated the known links between MLOY and age. It clearly showed MLOY prevalence increasing as men get older, climbing up to around 27% by age 70 in some analyses they looked at.
Wow.
And importantly, the MuSCOVERY estimates showed the strongest statistical link, the most confidence with both age and also smoking status compared to the other methods. It also strongly confirmed the link between MLOY and higher all-cause mortality. And interestingly, when they defined MLOY more stringently, say, affecting 20% or more of cells, MuSCOVERY actually showed the strongest association with increased mortality risk out of all the methods they tested. Then there was the genetic validation. Using genome-wide association studies, or GROs, MuSCOVERY found more independent genetic locations linked to MLOY risk than the other methods did. We're talking 36 loci for the simple yes-no trait and 59 loci associated with the fraction of cells affected.
More locations found.
Yes, and often with stronger statistical significance. The p-values, which indicate confidence, were generally much smaller for MuSCOVERY. For example, there was one key genetic spot they all found, RS56349439. The p-value for MuSCOVERY was incredibly tiny, like 6.84 times 10 to the minus 24, way stronger than for the other methods. It points to higher precision.
So it's great for big population studies, but you also mentioned cancer. It proved useful there too.
Absolutely. Its application in cancer genomics was another key finding. They used data from the Cancer Genome Atlas, TCGA. MuSCOVERY reliably detected MLOY in the tumor genomes themselves, and the prevalence varied a lot depending on the cancer type. It ranged from just 2% in some thyroid cancers up to a striking 89% in certain kidney cancers.
89%?
Yeah, really high in some cases. And importantly, its findings correlated well with existing cancer data derived from other genetic methods like SNP arrays and WGS. The method also showed impressive robustness and potential for single sample analysis. It worked well even when they simulated lower sequencing depth, down to just 10/60% of the original reads. And while ideally you'd calibrate it with a large group sequence the same way, they showed that thresholds figured out from a huge data set like the UK Biobank can actually be applied directly to single samples. The key condition is that the single sample must have been sequenced using the exact same exome capture kit.
Okay, so the kit matters.
Right, it's like having the right calibration for your specific instrument. If you change the kit, you really need to recalibrate the normalization. But once set for a kit, it's reliable.
Okay, so pulling this all together, what's the big picture here? How does Moskovery really shift things for researchers studying male health risks and aging?
Well, the bottom line is Moskovery is a really valuable, solid, and sensitive tool. It lets researchers detect and quantify MLOI using sequencing data that's already widely available. It effectively gets around those tricky technical problems tied to the Y chromosome structure, which honestly is a pretty big deal for the field. The implications, they're quite significant. For large-scale studies, it opens the door to much more accurate and feasible population studies of MLOI using exome data, which just wasn't really practical before. For understanding disease, getting a more precise MLOI measure gives us deeper insights into the biology behind age-related diseases and various health risks specific to men. It could even help shed light on the known longevity gap between men and women, given MLOI's clear link to increased mortality. And as we saw, its effectiveness and analyzing tumor genomes makes it a really important tool for cancer research, helping to better map out the genetic changes happening in tumors. Now, like any method, it has some nuances, some limitations to keep in mind. As we mentioned, that exon matching normalization step, it does need to be redone for each different exome capture kit used. And although the normalization is sophisticated, tiny variations in things like GC content could potentially still have some subtle influence, even if minimized. Also, deciding on the cutoff, the binary threshold for calling something MLOI positive, that can depend on the context. A purely statistical threshold might be set quite low. In situations where MLOI is very common, like maybe in certain tumors, using an arbitrary threshold based on a specific percentage of affected cells, like saying more than 10% or more than 20%, might actually be more biologically meaningful. We saw that the 20% threshold had the strongest link to mortality, for instance.
That's a really practical point about choosing the right threshold. So with this powerful tool now out there in open source, what's next? Where do researchers go from here with MLOI?
Well, the immediate next steps are pretty clear. Integrating Moskovery into even larger, more diverse genomic studies is key. We need to look at MLOI across different global populations. And of course, digging deeper into its actual causal role in disease. Is it just a marker of aging or biological stress, or does it actively contribute? And exploring its potential as a clinical biomarker, the fact that it's open source, available on GitHub, that's huge. It really empowers the whole scientific community to use it and build upon this work, which will definitely speed up discoveries. So, to sum it up, Moskovery is a new, really effective computational tool. It accurately spots mosaic loss of the Y chromosome using common sequencing data, overcoming old limitations. Its ability to precisely measure this frequent genetic event in men gives us solid, vital insights into aging, various disease risks, and yeah, potentially even helps explain that longevity gap between men and women. It really makes you wonder, what does this mean for developing more personalized medicine approaches specifically for men? And how might really understanding MLOI change our strategies for promoting healthy aging and preventing disease down the road?
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science base by base.